with Kansas in the books, we turn our attention towards Darlington, another mile and a half fast track. It should be fun. There should be opportunity to win some money, hopefully. We'll review all that was Kansas as well as get you set for this week's race. Best bets, favorite odds, favorite targets, all of that good stuff, all on this week's Angle of Pursuit podcast.
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Brian Twining, recording this a day later due to scheduling issues, but I appreciate everybody's patience.
A day later, a day better.
After the last couple weeks, we might need a little bit better. Obviously, yeah. You had Hamlin 2 weeks ago, so that helped make things a little more palatable. But yeah, it's been an interesting run for NASCAR for sure. We can review Kansas. We can talk about what worked, what didn't work.
Before even looking at the bets, let's just say what everybody's been talking about since the weekend. Like, Kansas should be the championship race at least next year, or maybe just indefinitely going forward, because every time these guys have come here in the next gen car, it's delivered an absolute epic race. Again, the closest finish in the history of the sport this last weekend. So, you know,
what we saw at Atlanta where Suarez won, the fact that it was even closer than that is crazy.
Yeah, especially it's closer than what you see at a super speedway, I think, was the most incredible part about it.
Obviously, bias aside, I'd like to see it in Vegas just because I think it would be fun. But Kansas is pretty great.
Well, and then I think, too, what makes Kansas, this last Kansas race, even that much better than what we saw at Atlanta was the fact that the third and fourth place cars finished less than a tenth or so behind those guys as well. Like, first of all, let me just say this. I know this is a long-winded rant here. If Kyle mother effing Busch does not spin, I know it's not on my card, but if you watched Chris Wormy's show, like I shouted it out, I got it on Bovada, 16-1. I was standing in my living room as Martin Truex Jr. was catching Denny Hamlin while they were fuel saving and Truex was pedal to the metal. And I started yelling, send it, send it. And then, of course, as soon as I stood up and I started yelling, Kyle Busch spins.
Yeah, if that race, even with all the shenanigans and all the stuff that happened, if that race is two laps longer, if we get another overtime, Martin Truex wins. And I feel like we didn't give him, at least for me, I know I wrote him off pretty quickly, and I feel real dumb after the way he performed on Sunday, because he was awesome. And shouts to him. Denny Hamlin, top Toyota, Martin Truex, bit right then. Of course, no.
I would venture to say, you know, from what I've seen so far this year in racing, if you remove wins from the equation, I think Martin Truex Jr. has possibly been a top three car. Like, every single week, this dude seems to be up front. And this is now twice where he's been snake bitten by an extremely late caution, the first time by his own teammate, and then this time by another old fogey, Kyle Busch. So, you know, a win for him is bound to come, it seems like. Sooner rather than later, we'll see this week. I mean, he's priced pretty aggressively. So
yeah, well,
we'll see if we can get there.
Honestly, it's a trend that carried on from last year. Last year, he was awesome. And then all of a sudden, coming playoffs, there was some sort of issue, or he wasn't quite there, or he couldn't get it done, and it's just carried over. So it's really interesting. Let me bring up my screen here, and we can look at how DraftKings went, because we did have some success over there, which was nice. All right, so this is our best lineup. Can you see that okay?
Yep.
Even with Ty Gibbs minus 13. Oh, wait, no, this is it's in one of the next ones. So first one, Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Ty Gibbs, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez.
Oh, man, that was so disappointing. And then Riley Herbst, too. I think I overestimated the safeness at which he drove, and I think the lack of cautions over the first two stages really made that play like a complete loser, because he had no time to – he was so many laps down, he couldn't surpass guys that were, like, wrecking and stuff like that.
This was the good one. Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Bubba Wallace – Brad Keselowski. Now we could have, if we would have had Truex in here somewhere, I forget what his price was, but we could have probably.
Brad Keselowski was on the same strategy that Truex was late, and he was in line to potentially finish second, or potentially challenge Truex for the race win had that gone green the last final four or five laps.
And Justin Haley started 35th, finished 18th, had a really good race. He was in the top 10 for a while. I little at 30-1. I was like, "Oh baby, give me a backwards finish. It doesn't matter. I will happily take it." And of course, he couldn't quite hold on. But and then our third one was a Larson Byron. I was a little worried we were going to see this. He was very much like he got into the top 10 at one point, and I was like, "Oh, maybe we can make some room." And then he got stuck back in the 20s again and just kind of was there. He never moved forward, never raced ahead. Kyle Busch raced ahead. Truex raced ahead.
Yep.
There was a handful of guys that were really making up some track position. And Byron just cruising along on a Sunday drive going 80 in a, 90-mile-an-hour zone. And
he was like the grandma on the Autobahn, essentially.
Yep. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to drive around. I'm good. Ryan Blaney was me. Obviously, starting 26 was helpful. And then just a bunch of jabronis. So,
yeah.
Overall, it was fine. I feel like we had some rather right pieces. I think Truex would have been it. Betting card. A lot of red. I wasn't really excited about Ross. Post practice and qualifying, and I feel pretty good about that. Byron never had a chance. The Gragson group bet that like everybody hammered. I'm so happy we got in at plus 250 because it was like even money by race day, or maybe
yeah. And I'm very disappointed in myself that I didn't put it on the card. Although I had actually I actually bet this away from the show. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I'd bet more because that's like the only one that came through for me. So, like I said, the Haley, Byron, Bubba Wallace. He was never a top 10.
I think 23-11 as a whole, greatly very disappointing in their performance.
Yeah, after dominating that track for several years in a row, I thought, like Haley, maybe he could backdoor it. Maybe he could get something wild and. It just was not meant to be. And obviously you were on a lot of the same stuff as us.
Let me just say Chastain over Bowman was a winner for like 85% of the day. And then that late caution really cost me and Chastain his finishing position.
Yeah. And honestly, your Kyle Busch bet, I think, was a good one. I think he had a very good car. I think he did some dumb stuff and spun himself.
Yeah. I mean, outside the show, I also placed a few of his auxiliary bets, like a couple placements, like top five, top 10 numbers. So I was really happy that he got back in the top 10, but I would have rather him not have spun and me cashed the top five and top 10 and cashed Martin Truex Jr. winning outright. So whatever, but.
But as you can see, even with our rough day, we're both still very much in the green. It would be nice to hit a few bets this week and build that back up, because there will be some downturns for sure. But the last couple weeks have been a little less than ideal, but we are heading to Darlington and I'm very excited. This is our last race before the All-Star race, right?
Yep. Thank goodness.
Wow. Yeah. So. Probably just going to be a bye week. Maybe we'll record us like a one-off episode, but always open to suggestions from the listeners. So if there's something you would like to see, drop it down in those comments. Hit the like button while you're at it. Click subscribe if you've yet to do that. 30-40% of our viewers are subscribed. So that means there's 60-70% of you that are watching most weeks and still
just hit the sub button. You don't have to do anything else.
Costs you nothing. Doesn't bombard you with messages and helps us out tremendously. So let's look at this week's odds and let's talk about it, because it's going to feel very similar. Kyle Larson, 4-1. Denny Hamlin, 450. Martin Truex, 650. William Byron, 8. Tyler Reddick, 8. Christopher Bell, 9. Brian, I think we need to be more open to betting shorter numbers. I know they're gross.
Yeah, for sure. But again, like, the thing is prior to practice and qualifying, why bet 4-1 on a Larson when, say, something happens in practice and say he unloads and he really doesn't look that good, and say he damages his car and he doesn't run a qualifying lap and he's starting at the back of the field, then you get 5-1 or 4.5. Like, and even if he does pull it, how much shorter can this number actually get?
+250, like we saw last week.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, at that point, like, a point and a half, it's really not that big when you're talking about somebody that opens at 4.
See, to me, like, a point and a half when we're talking between, you know, +850 and 10-1 feels a lot more reasonable, especially when you're getting to that short number, where if you're going from 4 to like 2 or 2.5, that feels gross. That feels like you're losing half the value, and it's not just like a piece of it. I don't know, but it is a little difficult, because it's like, okay, well, even if we're like, okay, the best cars are winning every single week and getting in on a Larson or a Hamlin or a Truex makes a lot of sense, who is the person that we want to jump in on that we hope qualifies well? So, you know, these are the stuff that I play with in my head that I try and figure out. And maybe I just need to, you know, drop an extra unit on Kyle Larson or Danny Hamlin or whoever looks awesome in practice and take the 2.5 or 3-1.
Yeah. And I think, like, this week in particular, you know, when you see all these guys in single digits, I think this just presents opportunity for better value post practice and qualifying, because obviously, like, if Kyle Larson pulls it, he's probably going to that 3-1 number, maybe 250, like we saw last week. And then everybody else is either staying the same or getting slightly longer. So, like, Christopher Bell, for instance, I just wanted to point this out. He's 9-1 here listed at Caesars. You go to Superbook, he's still 14. Other places, he's 10. Like, I bet him at 14 as soon as lines dropped at Bovada. So I'm sitting on Bell 14. I don't hate betting it again, because when you're looking at pre-practice and qualifying numbers, like, you want a number that's going to get shorter. And if Christopher Bell backs up the type of speed that we saw last week at Kansas and qualifying, and what he's done here in Darlington in the past, qualifying inside the top five, I believe in 3 of the 4 next gen car races, like, this number is going to get shorter.
He is so hard for me to figure out. The weeks I think I want to get in on him, he sucks
ass.
He's
like the worst guy to.
Yeah, he's just so hard to get in on. I'm going to add Denny Hamlin at 5-1. I know it's probably silly, and maybe I'll end up being like, you know, be able to get a number similar post. But his track history here, his run kind of as the whole season has gone along.
I was just going to say, I just think he's on another level right now.
Yeah. And like he was, I'm looking at, what is this? I'm using iFantasy Races stats. So high speed mile and a half tracks, Denny Hamlin is second in terms of average speed, but first at Kansas 1, first at Kansas 2, in 2023, first at Kansas in 2024, second at Texas in 2024. Like, he's been fast. He's been awesome. And it seems silly, but when there's a 4.5 and a 5, the 5 feels so much more comfy. Even though it's really not that big of a difference. And, I know there's a couple of places where you can get 5-1. So I'm happy to add it. And I'm going to add some 5-1.
I mean, it's hard to hate on that just with,
Yeah, it's just, And like Brian said, if you like Christopher Bell, for example, and you can find 10, 12, 14, jump on it, because that is some serious value.
Yeah, no, I was just going to add on that, like a guy like Martin Truex Jr., for instance, coming into the week, he was probably my favorite, like early week, like pick to win the race before odds dropped. But 6.5 just seems so short on a guy that we talked about this last week. And I think the week before, he has not gotten it done. Like when it's closing time, he is not finishing. So it's hard to bet such a short number, especially knowing the books, or I mean, maybe just one book. That's all you need to make a mistake and post such a long number like we saw last week before we went green at 16 on him. So
yeah,
I think Truex, you have to look at his stuff in terms of what's more likely to happen. Is he going to pull it and he goes to 5-1, or is he going to be maybe bottom half of the top 10 qualifying and this number is 7 or 7.5 because Kyle Larson pulls it and everybody else gets longer?
I feel like with Larson and Denny, there's a lot less wiggle room where even if they're like mid pack or towards the back, the books don't really move their numbers because they know how good they are. Where with someone like,
we saw that with Larson at Dover, he sucked ass in practice and he still opened shorter than what reopened shorter than what he had opened with.
Right. But with someone like Truex, I feel like there's a lot more wiggle room and they'll move his numbers a lot longer than they should. So I'm with you in terms of he's really compelling. We've obviously seen what speed he has had lately. Mm-hmm. But I much rather wait. Maybe he qualifies not great. Maybe we get a live line. Maybe who knows. But if I can get 8 or 9 or double digits somehow, I would much rather have that. And like you said, if he pulls it, it looks like a rocket ship. And Denny and Larson are just decent. He's 3 or 4 to 1, but like at least we know he's a rocket ship, and I'd rather get in on him at that than 650.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do we go back to Byron, or do we? This feels like a good spot.
I mean, he was good here last spring. He took advantage of it late, so.
Wow. Like in terms of average. Okay.
Go ahead. Hear me out real quick. So remember last week when we were talking about values and who I would rather bet, and I said I would have rather taken Kyle Busch at 16 over Tyler Reddick at whatever his number was, like 7.5 or something. So just recency bias talking here. I would rather bet Chase Elliott at 15 or 16, where you could still get him at 16. Then William Byron right now at 8, because it seems to me like the nine team has caught back up to the pack. He's caught back up to the top two guys in the HMS camp. And I think Elliott is on the precipice of like blowing up and potentially, you know, wrangling off 2 to 3 wins, here in the next like month or two, because they've been right there. I mean, we're talking top fives in 4 consecutive races, I believe, for Elliott at traditional tracks, non-super speedways. Like this guy is, I don't want to say he's completely back. I mean, we're getting into the whole Texas is back BS stuff, but like Elliott seems to be back and the team.
Chase Elliott as Texas is perfect. That's like, literally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And on pit road too, like they're crushing it on pit road, which I think is another aspect to this that a lot of people are kind of glancing over, which to me makes any of his pre-practice numbers of this nature, good value. That's just the way I'm looking at him. Cause I've bet him and Christopher Bell so far on outrights this week at 14 and 16 respectively.
I think 16 is good because he's another one that if he looks awesome, that number is single digits pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And was 8th in total speed at Kansas, 4th at Texas, obviously got the win there. Was fine at Vegas too. So yeah, I think I'm going to join you on that one as well. I'll join you on that one. I think that one makes sense. The other thing with Byron is like, even when he's awesome, like what's he going to move to? Like 750?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Is 16 the best number we can get right now at Superbook?
Yeah. Yeah. 16 is the best on Elliott right now.
Okay. I will be adding a piece of that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're not even necessarily looking at, oh yeah, no, I wholeheartedly think Elliott's going to win the race. It's more so like this number has a much higher chance of getting shorter than it does getting longer. That's just the way I'm looking at this.
For sure. And he's been good at these tracks. So it's
exactly. Like he's been really good at Darlington too.
Yeah. And qualifying much more consistently in that top 10. So there's just a lot of things trending in the right direction. It would also be nice to be able to check off that 1.5 over and then potentially hit my alt line.
We warned people as soon as these guys got close, like a lot of our picks are going to be geared towards there. They're going to be biased towards that. But
we're also getting on them at good numbers. Exactly. Good tracks. Yeah. Like we're betting him at 6.5. If he was 6.5 or 8, like I wouldn't be betting him.
Oh no.
At 16, he makes a lot of sense.
Well, and then I think the crazy thing about this number in particular on Elliott was at the end of last year, I remember we were like losing our minds over the fact that he was opening at like 18 or 20 when the car had shown nothing yet. And now he's like a weekly, routinely running inside the top 10, well inside the top 10, top 5 car. And we're still getting a discounted price on him because of the dominance of Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin. So I'll gladly take that right now.
Yep. I like where your head's at. And I will be adding some Chase Elliott. It's also nice recording a day later because like there's actual lines. And
I was just going to say there's a lot more markets open.
Yeah. Yeah, so
the only thing that sucks is we will tell people we are going to run into the NASCAR betting preview show during our recording, so I may put it on the side and just mute it and see if I can turn on captions somehow. So
it's a judgment-free zone. I like where your head's at. Yeah, support those guys for sure, even if you don't catch it live. Awesome show, awesome information. Yeah. Derek does a great job with the crew over there, so between that and Stay Green and pre-race poll, there's a lot of in same game parlay and that's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So Larson, Hamlin, Truex, Byron. What about 2311? We had so much optimism going into last week. Everyone was lined up to back them. And Tyler Reddick and Bubba were just non-factors. And now Reddick's here at 8-1. Are people going to sleep on him and he's actually going to be awesome and qualify really well? Or is he the reason, like, he's just an easy fade at that price?
I don't think he's a fade. I think Reddick is like an avoid, right? I just think he's a hold right now.
He was number one at Texas. He was number two at Vegas.
But again, where are the wins? Where's the win?
That's fair.
It's the same conversation we had last week as to the reason why I preferred betting Bush over Reddick. Like,
so we did this with Gregson and Gibbs on who gets a win first. Who gets their next win first? Tyler Reddick or Martin Truex Jr.?
Oh man. With us going to Charlotte after the All-Star race, I mean, I honestly think Martin Truex Jr. is going to win this week.
Okay.
But again, like, I don't want to bet the 6.5. Like, I'm scared off on the 6.5 because unless he pulls it, I think the number's there post-qualifying. Because
we'll record on Saturday and you'll be adding him at 6-1 instead of 6.5.
And that'll be fine because he'll have shown long run speed and I'll gladly take a shorter number, but after seeing how good he is. So yeah, I guess I'm going to say Martin Truex Jr. because I think he wins this week, but if he does not get it done, I definitely think we see Tyler Reddick more likely because we hit Charlotte. Then we hit, I think it's Nashville. And then we go to Sonoma shortly after that. And, you know, I mean, Truex was the ringer last year at Sonoma, 33-1.
Yeah, baby. We got to hit one of those again. We're not seeing that. We
didn't get that number this year.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the, so we have Darlington this week and then obviously the All-Star week and then Coke 600 at Charlotte. Then we go to Gateway. Then we go to Sonoma. So those will both.
Oh, Gateway's first. That's right.
Gateway and Sonoma. So yeah, Reddick's definitely. Although Truex,
I was just going to say how I think the best opportunity for Ford to win a race is coming up here in this three race span.
And then we go to Iowa, which we haven't been there in a long time.
Charlotte and Gateway. Joey Logano has been good at Gateway.
Yeah. Fords are kind of going to be interesting post All-Star break, but maybe that's what we should do next week is kind of preview June. Cause there's a lot to get into. Maybe we can get Wormy or Yoder or someone to join us to talk like bigger picture stuff. Cause we have, not only do we have Gateway and Sonoma, but we have Iowa, which we haven't really ran. So how do we figure, how do we cap that race? And then we have New Hampshire and then we have Nashville.
I will be at the New Hampshire race, God willing. I already have my dad lives out there, so I'm going to be staying with him. I just got to wait to open up for credential requests.
Yeah. Yep. And then we do Chicago Street, Pocono, and Indy. So we have a good run of races, and then we get into the heat of, final races before the playoffs, and then it's playoff time, baby. It's crazy. It'll be here before we know it.
Remember, though, we're catching the dog days of summer, as they would say with baseball. And this is where you get the guys who win races because the teams that are going to be contending in the playoffs don't care about this stretch. Happened last year. Chris Buescher, remember, this is where he rang off his wins.
When does Hendrick checks out? Usually by the end of June.
So yeah, it's coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when we get into like Richmond and Michigan and Indy, I think that's kind of when Hendrick checks out. So we got to remember to not get too crazy, especially because, like, obviously Elliott has his win, so he should be in the playoff. Larson and Byron are locked and loaded with their wins. So, maybe they try and squeeze a Bowman in there. But, yeah, I think it's a good spot to – good thing to remember as we kind of progress forward. But let's talk more Darlington. Chris Bell, you already got in on – is it basically you'd need double digits to bet him even at this point, or would you bet him at 9?
Yeah, I'm not betting Christopher Bell at 9. I don't, because he's ran into too many issues recently. So yeah. I think you got to get a longer number on Christopher Bell, especially when he's competing against two other big JGR guys, Truex and Hamlin.
Yeah, I mean you could get him 14 at Super.
Yeah, Club. So I'm going to add that. That's okay. Literally, I'm going to add the bets that I've already made.
Okay, I like that. So you're in on Bell at 14. You're obviously in on Chase Elliott. Let's talk about a few other names in that range. We have Ross Chastain at 15. We have Brad Keselowski, and we have Kyle Busch. Who are we interested in? Kyle Busch now? Is that a thing we're doing?
So I think Busch is kind of in the same conversation as Elliott, where I think the last few weeks you've definitely seen this team turn it around in terms of speed. I still have a hard time getting there with his numbers pre-practice, because I kind of want to see the way he unloads, and especially like if he qualifies well, I think he's going to have a good day. And Busch is kind of in that range of drivers where even if he qualifies, fifth or sixth, like what's he going to reopen up at 10, 12? I would much rather wait for that than get in too early and then have his car look like an absolute freaking sinker. And your post practice, you're looking at him 20-25. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So like at Texas, he started 35th, finished 9th. At Kansas, started 5th, finished 8th. So he's been like a top 10 car.
He was definitely a top 5 car at Kansas until he spun.
And then at Dover, like, I know it's not the similar track style, but he showed the ability to drive through the field even after having issues and ended up getting in that top 5 again. So, he's had a good run. I don't know if RCR has figured stuff out or if he's just being awesome or maybe some combination of the two. But, yeah, I wouldn't fault anybody who went there. I'll just say that. 16-1 feels nice.
The thing is I don't think we've seen the ceiling.
Because he
like
started
the potential ceiling from Busch, like we have with Bell, for instance. At 14.
He started 5th last week. He looked awesome, and you added him at 16 there.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Was he 20 before, or was he about that?
He might have been around 20, but that's why I think, like, even if he looks great, what is he going to open up? 12?
Yeah.
Like, 12, I'll take that all day.
12 or 14, I think. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, if you're in love with Kyle Busch this week and you want to make sure he's on your card, sure, grab the better number now. But he is one. He is somebody that, and if he doesn't qualify well and looks like garbage, you know he's going to be in the back of the pack all day, and you're going to not going to want to bet him. So I think patience with him is probably the move.
You jump in live on him if come Sunday he looks like they figured it out overnight, you know, they've made the adjustments that they needed to and he's working his way through the field. Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to quickly see that in about halfway through stage one, and then you could jump on his live line, which will probably be, you know, 20.
Yeah. Sunday is Mother's Day, famously, so make sure you call your mom and wish her happy Mother's Day if you aren't going to be seeing her. I don't know how much of this race I'll be able to watch, but I'm honestly okay with that. All right, let's keep rolling through the names. We get into the longer. Chris Buescher, 20. Any interest?
This is where my how do you say that? Like, I don't like going with the popular stuff, and you know last week's finish at Kansas is going to lead to a ton of people placing action on Chris Buescher at Darlington, where he's been good. I don't think he's been great.
No.
And so, like, I can't get there. I know 20, everybody would love to cash 20 to one ticket, but yeah, I just don't know if I can get there.
Like, last year I got third in the fall race after starting eighth, was a top 10 car in the spring race. So pretty good. He was actually really good here in the fall race. He was fine here in the spring race. Obviously was a lot more of a factor last week than I think I expected. So that was interesting to see. 20 to 1 does feel short. And then we get into the Fords with Logano and Blaney.
So interesting on Logano. Okay, so one thing, again, going back to the Christopher Bell conversation and looking at how well he qualifies, Logano has the second best average starting position over the last six here at Darlington. And when you look at the next gen stuff, like, Logano continues to be able to show speed on Saturdays, no matter how shitty he looks on Sundays. But I think there's a good shot that Logano brings the type of speed we've seen at a lot of these other tracks this year, and he's qualifying inside the top 10, possibly even in the front couple of rows, and this number gets a little bit shorter. I know you can still get him at 25. I don't hate that, but I'm not going to bet it, but I will say I think Logano is somebody to keep an eye on when you're looking at placements and stuff like that to see if you can catch a book sleeping somewhere, maybe in a matchup.
Talk me out of betting Ty Gibbs.
He hasn't won. Like,
right, but we're getting 30 on him or 28 instead of 12 or 8.
Who would you rather bet at 30 to 1? Ryan Blaney, a NASCAR Cup Series champion, or Ty Gibbs? Who has better racecraft in order to stay season, there until the end?
Right now, with the cars that they're driving?
Yeah, but who do you trust?
You
more?
Got to call Tyrone.
Oh my god!
Adding him, done. Welcome to the card. 30 to 1, not 8 to 1, not 12 to 1, 30 to 1. We're talking about grabbing value. If he shows the speed that he has shown, this is a guy who was fast at Texas, a guy who was fast at Vegas. Fifth average speed at Vegas, fifth at Texas, and then obviously 10th at Kansas last week. If he was as normal, like, really strong self after last week, this number would be 14, not 30. And I think because of last week, we're getting value. I know he hasn't been great here, but we're buying the upside, not the downside. And at 30 to 1, I'm not betting his top 10 number, at least not yet. But at 30 to 1, I'm in. Because he is going to get a win sooner than later. And if I can get it at 30, I'm going to grab it.
I just can't get there with him at a track like Darlington. There's just too many potential issues, you know, at a track like this.
That is my one concern, is, and we saw it, you know, what, Richmond, I think, where he had the legitimate speed and was probably the best car, but because he's a younger driver who doesn't know Bristol, what I mean.
And he ate the shit. He destroyed his tires because he was just trying to go fast. And you saw the old farts like, go ahead, kid. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still adding him 30-1. Welcome to the card.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of backpedaling a little bit higher up into the board, but like somebody like Brad Keselowski opening at 14-1, who in their right mind is going to bet that on a guy that hasn't won in over 50 something races? You know, this was the conversation we had about Martin Truex Jr. for a long time until he won Sonoma, and we got 33-1, which is about the price that you should be getting on somebody that can't find victory lane. And you know, the thing that sucks about this too is that you're now priced out of his placement markets, because you're not going to bet. At least for me, I'm not going to bet Keselowski 2-1 on a top five. Like, no way.
Yeah. It's the problem is he's been too competitive to not be priced this way, but not winning races. So it's like,
exactly,
like, kind of in a weird spot.
Yeah. Like, if you were to tell me, despite how they've been running this year, that Brad Keselowski was in that Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano range in terms of 25-30, I would say, that's probably where he should be priced.
Yeah. Are you going to do the Eric Jones thing back this week? Is he back for officially?
So Eric Jones is back. I tweeted out today something of, I mean, obviously finishing position isn't necessarily tell you how good of a driver somebody is here. Like, Eric Jones in particular is really good at Darlington, is probably his best racetrack. But when you look at the last six times he's come here, I think he's started inside the top 10 once. He has one race over this span where his average running position was better than 10th. And I think he has one finish inside the top 10 that entire duration. And so I'm not going to bet a guy who is returning after a multiple race absence off a back break. Like, dude didn't have a muscle strain. He broke a vertebrae in his back. And, you know, he's going to be uncomfortable. Imagine if he slams the wall.
And we saw this last year with Alex freaking Bowman and Chase Elliott in much, much better equipment, how much of a struggle there was.
Exactly.
It took him, like, honestly, it feels like it took Chase almost the rest of the season to get to where he needed to be, to be competitive again. So it's like, I'm not.
Well, and then something else I found interesting is, like, Jones is priced at 50-1 to win the race. Honestly, right now, if you are going to bet him, I would probably rather bet the 50-1 number on the outright and just walk away, because his top 10 is like +145.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bet a legacy guy at +145 at any track right now.
And he's got a lot of good finishes here, but his last, six finishes include 18th, 32nd, 25th, a win, 25th, and 10th. So he's got two top 10s. One of those was a win. So he is very much a high variance win or
top, and one of the top 10s was 10th, by the way. Yeah. We're talking about Austin Dillon territory, like finishing
checkers or wreckers. And when he was in the fall race, he was third after stage two. So, like, I'd much rather have an outright ticket with a big payday on him. So if he figures it out and puts it all together, awesome. If it's not, he's going to be 18th or 20th or 25th or something stupid. And, you know.
Yeah, and I think, like, going back again, so trying to look at pre-practice and qualifying value, like, even if Jones qualifies in the top 10, like, where is it going to go? 25-1? I mean,
yeah. Any interest in any of these, like, long shots? Briscoe, Barry, Suarez.
Are we going Mick Driver with the big announcement today, jumping ship from front row to Spire? Like,
so does he do what Kyle Busch does and what Eric Jones does, where the rest of the year he's kind of a non-factor and he kind of, there's a lot of, you know, problems between him and the race team and all that? Or is he going to, because, like, we've even talked about him, like, he was so good for the first month or so of the year and then just completely like fell off and then popped up for a couple races and then went away. Like maybe we just bet him at Daytona and Talladega and call it a day.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was kind of the first thing that popped into my head was at what time does Ford decide like they're going to quietly quit Michael McDowell knowing that he's going to a Chevrolet? And, you know, it obviously this is just me worried about what we saw last year with the legacy team jumping from Chevrolet to Toyota. You heard all the stuff like they were left out of a lot of like Chevrolet meetings and sim time and all that type of stuff. I don't think that's going to happen in the like immediate future for Michael McDowell because they are a smaller team still. I know they have that alliance with Penske, but I think if we get past like Sonoma and we're getting into like say late July and he hasn't won another race, like I think they definitely start to consider, all right, we're going to start focusing on Todd Gilliland a little bit more because if the rumors are true, it sounds like Front Row Motorsports and SHR are going to merge. And they're going to form a single four-car team with the 34 going away, the 38 joining SHR, and I think the 10 going away, but Gragson jumping into some other car. Unless both of the front row cars join with SHR, and SHR sells the 10 and the whatever and the 41. So I don't know. I don't know. McDowell, it's hard, especially with this type of news, like just in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I don't know if you could bet him because who the hell knows?
And honestly, like if like we were at a track where he might be more in line for a win, could talk myself into it a little more. Yeah. But like this, like Darlington, he's not been great. And outside of Texas, he's been pretty ass a mile and a half. I don't know. I have no interest, but I do think that move is interesting. And I do,
I mean, you know, to his credit, he had 7th and 6th place finishes in the first year in the next gen car here. And last year he qualified 19th and 9th. So it's not like he's qualified poorly. So I definitely think he's somebody to consider in the placement markets or a potential like matchup, but
yeah. Should we be more interested in Spire in 2024?
Not at Darlington. I do think if I got a matchup of Carson Hocevar over Corey LaJoie, I mean, obviously their outrights are priced this way, I would smash Hocevar over LaJoie. Yeah,
because it's going to be LaJoie and McDowell because, like, Zane Smith's going away, right? I don't know. I'm wondering if we should be more interested in that team kind of going forward. Like, could they be maybe not next year, but the year after be a kind of closer to what Trackhouse is?
Well, what's really interesting about that is like, we saw that at the beginning of the year, we saw Spire kind of look like a mid-tier team, not a back marker. And I definitely think they're headed in that direction, but it's really interesting that I would say the worst, I mean, obviously Zane Smith, he's Trackhouse, but Carson Hocevar, I think, has already surpassed Corey LaJoie in terms of like the best driver in that garage.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's close.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of outrights, I have Hamlin at 5. I have Elliott at 16 and I have Gibbs at 30. You did Elliott at 16 and Bell at 14. Any other outrights, at least prior to practice and qualifying, that you're tempted to add to the card?
I mean, again, like I don't know why I'm going this direction, but I'm definitely considering Joey Logano. Just, I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to hold off, but I just have an eerie feeling that he's going to unload like a rocket ship, qualify on the front row or the front two rows, and he's going to reopen like at 12 or 14.
Reach out to Ryan Stevens and ask him how Logano at Kansas went, and he'll probably put you in the right spot. all right, let's talk some of the props. Hopefully we have some fun stuff, although...
Oh, yeah, DK has all their stuff up. We have tons of matchups this week, which I'm really excited to get into.
I don't see manufacturer props, which is interesting. Or Caesar's just lacking? Let's see.
Hey, you're right.
All right, Chris Buescher finishing position 13.5.
Wow, you can see that. Mine just says NASCAR 24. Goodyear 400, though.
Did you click on that?
Yeah, let me click on that thing.
Yeah, Buescher's 13.5. McDowell's 20.5. Top 20, McDowell. Blaney, you know, is.
I'm gonna do the McDriver 20.5. I'm gonna take
You can get Ryan Blaney if you think the Penske garage is gonna be good. Under 11.5 at plus 100.
That's kind of sketchy because I think his top finish here is like ninth. I mean, he's like a perennial, yeah, right there at the top 10 number.
People are out on Byron. His over under is 6.5. So you get a top six at minus 105.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that feels really good.
I mean, the one thing though is it's now 2 weeks in a row that that team has not looked great.
No, that is the concern for sure.
And that's kind of scary.
It's terrifying, but
again, Byron's sitting on three wins. Like, what do they have to lose? They could be messing around doing stuff.
But Byron, since we'll go back to 2020, it looks like, was there an All-Star race here? Oh, there's like the May 17th, but then May 20th. I don't know. September 6th, 5th.
That was the year. Remember, that was the COVID year where they ran like back to back at the same
time. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. You got a 5th in September. You got a 4th and then a 34th and 13th, but then an 8th, 1st, and 4th in his last three. And he's been like basically a top 5 car his last 4 runs. Where he, after stage 2, he was in the top 5 and he's been great. I'm adding that. Under 6.5 minus 105. Because that feels like what he will do. He won't win the race.
Yeah, but so you have to price out so his top 5 number is plus 125. You're going to pay.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. One you're spot. Right. Yeah, it's not worth that. One spot isn't worth that.
Yeah, no.
That's silly. Good call. That's why I have you around.
If his top 5 number was even money, I would probably say take the 6.5.
Yeah. All right, here. Okay, manufacturer. So Chevy, Larson plus 135, Byron 320, Chase Elliott 6-1, Chastain 6-1, Kyle Busch 7-1. I think you just go outright with Chevy because if Larson dusts the field, then you're gonna feel real dumb.
Yeah.
Ford Keselowski is your favorite. This is where you get in on Logano, I think, plus 450.
So I'm actually betting that.
I like that.
And I actually have already bet that. So I got the same price at Bovada, by the way.
And Toyota, Hamlin's 2-1, Truex 275, Reddick, Chris Bell 5-1. I'm tempted to add that.
So my only worry with Bell is Truex. Like I really think Truex is destined to win. It's just hard for me to get like that 6.5 number, man. That's just so short.
Yeah. Tyrone's 12-1. Don't hate that. Fords. The Fords just are lacking. Plus 240 against Toyota, plus 210 against Chevy.
Ooh.
Logano and Truex. That's a Brian Twining special.
Oh, that is a special for me.
18-1. That's fun. And then Byron and Hamlin 10-1.
What is that? 18-1.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, that feels very much on brand. All right. Oh, we got Front Row versus Spire in a matchup.
Of course they opened with that shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
23-11 versus RFK. Trackhouse versus RCR. RCR, underdog. Kyle Busch? It's minus 110, so it's not great, but...
I mean, that's pretty good, though. That's basically like betting Busch versus Chastain. Like, I don't expect Suarez to be competing with
Bell versus Chastain is even money. Hamlin versus Larson plus 100. Do I take that or do I? Because if he beats Larson, he's probably
winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stick with it. I think Hamlin's prices this week are you go like top three and win.
Bowman Wallace, Truex Reddick, Buescher Blaney, Keselowski Elliott minus 120 versus Keselowski. I don't hate that. Ooh. Do I take Gibby at plus 105 versus KFB?
Bell. I actually like the opposite side there.
You like KFB? What a world we're living in. Is there
any value? Let me see if I can get a better price on that because I want to bet that.
All right, top 10 market. Anything there?
Kyle Busch is minus 150 against Gibbs at Superbook, by the way.
Sounds like that's the best number then. See, Gibbs is 30-1, but he's minus 120 to top 10. I mean, I guess it feels safer there, but.
Yeah, but even that number, that's too short.
Yeah, these top 10 numbers are gross.
Okay, look at Eric Jones, plus 120. You're telling me you would bet a guy who has missed the previous two races, who has one top 10 finish in the last...
I wouldn't do that.
In the last six races here.
And then Noah Gragson's plus 140? Like, what are we doing?
He's been good, but like...
Not that good.
Yeah, I'm not getting there. Ooh.
Brad K 2-1 is kind of interesting. Kyle Busch 2-1 top 5 is kind of interesting. Gibbs at 3-1. I kind of like that.
All right. Yep. I gotta add that one. What was it? It was Bush minus 135.
Let's see. Schedule. Minus 135.
Eat it, Gibby.
Larson versus Hamlin at plus 110. Reddick versus Truex at plus 115.
Wait, is Truex plus 115?
No.
Oh, damn.
Reddick. Yeah, no, no. Bell versus Truex. Chastain versus Truex. Truex seems popular. It's been money. Like these matchups are fine, but like doesn't seem like there's any like screaming value.
I was just gonna say it's really hard to weekly to find a
Gragson minus 150 versus Eric Jones. It tells you all you need to know.
That might be the way to bet Eric Jones. I know
it's to fade him in matchups.
No, it's a bet Jones. Plus 130 against Gragson. He could freaking finish 25th, for gosh sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get Truex plus 330 over Larson, Hamlin, and Reddick. It's probably not good enough.
Yeah, but at that point, you're picking him to win. So you just bet him plus 650.
What about Ty Gibbs plus 355 versus Busch, Keselowski, and Buescher?
I'm going to let you ride that alone, my friend. Yeah, that is a no from me.
It's a no from me, dog. What about these, like, backmarker groups? Suarez, Berry, Briscoe, Stenhouse, McDowell.
I actually like Stenhouse in that.
You like Stenhouse? Yeah, plus 260. I don't hate that. Priest, 265 versus Cindric, LaJoie, and Gilliland.
Yeah, I've kind of steered away from groups unless you find one that is just greatly like geared towards one guy. Like last week with the Gragson one, like that was just, I mean, think about everybody hit that.
Yeah. That was just a bad number.
Yeah.
Let's see, driver props. You can get KFB versus Keselowski minus 125. Yeah, look, Hamlin's plus money everywhere, and he's minus here. That's silly. Derek Krause, 500-1.
That's a no.
Justin Haley, 100-1, top Ford.
No. All right, we got to look at placements real quick.
Okay.
We got to look at like top fives.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at top tens. They were really gross. And
yeah, top 10 numbers suck.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, Logano 3-1, top five.
I think I got it at, oh, that's top five. Yeah, yeah, I think I bet his top three number at Bovada at like 8-1.
Yeah, let's see. So yeah, he's 7. Logano 7. Yeah, I think with Logano, I like top 3 as opposed to top 5. Especially when it's 7-1 versus 3-1. I don't know, like 2-1 on a top 5 for KFB doesn't feel great.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to wait to see what he unloads with, because if he doesn't look good, either you're probably not betting him. But if he looks good, what's that? That's probably plus 150. Like, even last week, for instance, at Kansas, he reopened with 16-1, and his top 10 number was minus 150 on Bovada, which is notoriously short in that market.
Yeah.
So
Truex, like, minus 140 for a top five. Like, that feels gross. Bell, minus 125. Like, I don't like any of these numbers.
Well, I think the sports books are definitely getting a little bit more wise in terms of who is going to be contending for these positions. And so they're shortening a lot of these numbers. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think I mentioned it, where I feel like the markets are actually better now post practice and qualifying, because you're still getting decent odds on guys that are good.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more data to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. And our friendly offshore is just squeezing the hell out of us pre-practice and qualifying. So that's really fun. Okay, anything else you want to look at before we kind of recap the card, give the people our favorite bet, at least as of now, and get out of here?
Yeah, there's not a lot.
There really isn't. Like, I think we hit most of the important stuff. I haven't added anything else besides outrights, which I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. There's no matchups that are like screaming my name. There's no value, any sort of value on top tens. I don't get it. So let us know in the comments if you guys find anything that you really, really like. I'm sure between now and race day, I'll find some value. But at least for now, I'm pretty set. So I still have just 3 outrights. I have Denny Hamlin at 5. I have Chase Elliott at 16. And I have Tyrone at 30. Brian has Elliott and Bell. He also added the McDriver under 20.5. He's Joey Logano, because, you know, why not? Logano plus 450, top Ford. He did the Ford top Logano top Ford, Truex top Toyota at Caesars at 18, which I like that, because if he's going to do it, you're going to be paid out.
Yeah, exactly.
The KFB minus 135. It's good odds. I can't wait till Tyrone shoves it in your face and wins the damn race.
Oh my gosh, that's not happening.
It might. You never know.
The only thing I can see happening with this is the reason why I'm only going 2 units here is because I can definitely see a world where Ty Gibbs maybe qualifies a little bit better than KFB and maybe looks similar in practice. And this number gets a little bit closer to the median.
Well, and I feel like Tyrone could easily be like a top 10-ish car and kind of not really do a lot. Where KFB could be like the best car, or he could be like a bad
car. Or he could wreck. Like, Or he's driving backwards into the pit stall.
You know what?
Middle of stage 2.
I am going to add one prop, one matchup and we haven't done this in a while, and I feel like doing this. So
we're gonna do a show bet.
Show bet, Tyrone plus 130. Let's ride. Just so I can double shove it. 130.
Come on, KFB, baby.
All right. That is our show for the day. Like I mentioned, we will be back on Saturday to record. We will be in your feed Sunday morning. Make sure you are subscribed there so you get that as soon as we post it. Make sure you subscribe to the Substack as well. We're putting stuff, extra stuff out there. Let us know what you think of that, if it's helpful, if you think it's worthwhile. All that good stuff. Brian, is there anyone else you're considering, you're interested in pre-practice and qualifying, or is it a lot of interesting names? Want to wait and see and then probably jump in on either Truex or KFB or whoever, assuming they look good when we record on Saturday.
So the three names that are calling to me this week are my fellow old farts, KFB, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski. I like Keselowski in the placement markets. Yeah. I'm expecting him to qualify probably mid-teens, so maybe a little bit longer numbers here. And then KFB and Martin Truex Jr. are probably my two favorite, like, wait-and-see outrights for the race. Obviously, all of this is probably going to be for naught. Kyle Larson is probably going to smoke the field and win, or Denny Hamlin again, and neither of us will be on them. But
I'm on Hamlin.
I will be on Denny, so.
yeah. Which I hate, notoriously hate Hamlin, but I'm on him this week. I'm tempted to add another Hendrick car, whether that's Byron or Larson. We'll see how practice and qualifying goes. And I'm a little more interested in Truex this week. So depending on what that number looks like and how he looks in practice. Brian and I, we talked a little bit. It's early qualifying, so maybe we'll get an early record. And maybe I'll even surprise you guys and drop it a little early so you can try and get it in before Mother's Day and all the stuff that will come along with that.
Very nice.
For a Brian Twining, I'm Kyle Robert. Enjoy the rest of your week. Let us know down in the comments who you're excited about for Sunday's race. We'll be back breaking down everything over on DraftKings, as well as updating the final betting card, as well as getting you set for the race on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time.